On True Crime Today, more startling revelations in the case of mommy blogger Ruby Frankie as her daughter Sherry Frankie reveals her memoir to the world.
This is True Crime Today. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Thanks for joining us. Today we're diving into the revelations from Sherry Frankie's memoir, The House of My Mother, A Daughter's Quest for Freedom. Of course, we're talking about Ruby Frankie, her mother, the mommy blogger that went down in flames as allegations of abuse proved to be fact. Sherry isn't just giving us a peek behind the curtain. She's tearing the whole thing down. The story has it all. The family crumbling under the weight of internet fame, a manipulative business partner, and cult-like ideologies. And the heartbreaking realities of children thrust into the public eye. We're going to break down some of the most shocking allegations that come out of this book. Sherry opens up her memoir by laying it bare. The family vlogging wasn't just a career for Ruby Frankie. It was an obsession. Sherry's childhood was traded for clicks and sponsorship deals. Every moment, from birthdays to punishments, it was up for grabs. Privacy, that was a foreign concept. According to Sherry, their Eight Passengers YouTube channel became a gilded cage, trapping the entire family in a never-ending performance. Their need to deliver content to an audience of millions overshadowed the family's real-life dynamics, turning intimate milestones into public spectacles. The dysfunction ran deeper than the camera lens. Sherry describes a household where control reigned supreme. Ruby wasn't just a matriarch. She was a tyrant. Sherry recalls punishments that ranged from ear tugs to being denied food, all justified under Ruby's warped parenting philosophy. The line between discipline and cruelty blurred as Ruby wielded power over her children in ways that left emotional scars. "Mommy isn't very nice to me," Sherry remembers realizing as a young child. Spoiler, this might be the understatement of the century. As the Frankie children grew older, the methods of control only intensified. Sherry and her brother Chad, in particular, they began to push back against Ruby's authoritarian grip. Chad's rebellion resulted in some of the most extreme measures Ruby took as a parent. At Jody Hildebrand's suggestion, Ruby sent Chad to a wilderness camp for troubled teens. The cost? A staggering $133,000. The supposed goal was to, quote, fix him. But the program's impact on Chad and the family's dynamic left more questions than answers. Instead of healing, it seemed to deepen the fractures within the family. Jody Hildebrand, described by Sherry as a disruptor. Jody brought her extreme philosophies into the Frankie household, turning Ruby's control tactics into a full-blown doctrine. Jody's influence wasn't just professional. It seeped into every aspect of the family's lives. Sherry alleges that Jody's teachings gave Ruby a pseudo-scientific framework to justify her actions. Worse, Sherry hints at a romantic undertone in Ruby and Jody's relationship, a development that further complicated the already tense household dynamics. And the financial exploitation of the Frankie children was another dark thread in the story. Sherry recounts starting her own YouTube channel as a teenager, inspired by her mother's success, but Ruby's support came with strings attached. Ruby demanded a 10% cut of Sherry's earnings, arguing that business is business. Sherry's milestones, her struggles, and even her personal achievements were monetized, feeding into Ruby's insatiable hunger for financial gain. It wasn't just about money, it was about control. Ruby's grip extended beyond the camera, dictating every aspect of her children's lives. And then came the infamous beanbag video. In this video, Chad revealed he'd been sleeping on a beanbag for 7 months as a punishment. Chad is Ruby's son. Ruby's decision to post the video, despite warnings from her editor about potential backlash, showcased her belief in the righteousness of her parenting methods. The internet's response was swift and brutal. The Eight Passengers channel lost 90% of its subscribers almost overnight. Sponsors distanced themselves, and the family's wholesome image, it dissolved into a PR nightmare. By 2023, the situation had reached a tipping point. Sherry's youngest siblings were found malnourished, injured, and emotionally scarred. Ruby and Jody were arrested on charges of aggravated child abuse. Sherry details the chilling conditions her siblings endured, isolation, physical harm, and severe emotional neglect. The arrest marked the culmination of years of unchecked behavior and systematic failure. Despite numerous red flags, the abuse persisted until it was too severe to ignore. Through it all, Sherry struggled with guilt. Distancing herself from her family was a necessary but painful choice. She describes the emotional toil of watching her siblings suffer while feeling powerless to intervene. Therapy and support from friends became her lifeline, helping her navigate the fallout and find a sense of normalcy. One of the most striking moments in Sherry's memoir is the so-called apology letter she received from Ruby in 2024, written from prison. The letter avoided any acknowledgement of wrongdoing, focusing instead on Ruby's regrets about lost time with Sherry. It was a stark reminder of Ruby's inability to take responsibility for her actions. For Sherry, the letter symbolized everything wrong with her mother's worldview, a focus on appearances and excuses rather than accountability. The collapse of Eight Passengers wasn't just a financial disaster, it was a public reckoning. Ruby's decision to double down on her controversial parenting methods backfired spectacularly. As Sherry notes, the fallout was a long time coming. Years of monetizing her family's struggles and enforcing draconian rules had taken their toll. And the internet was no longer buying the facade. What's the lesson here? Sherry's memoir isn't just a personal account. It's a cautionary tale about the dangers of fame, unchecked authority, and the impact of pseudo-scientific ideologies. The Frankie's family downfall wasn't just about bad parenting. It was about a systematic failure to protect the most vulnerable. Sherry's bravery in sharing her story serves as a reminder that resilience and accountability can emerge even from the darkest places. That's our report for today. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for joining us.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.